This is an interview with
Lucy
Nazarene for the Oral History Project on Smoky Hollow. The interview is Annette Mills at 453 Hewing Road, Youngstown, Ohio, on April 12, 1976 at 10 p.m. All right, Ms. Nazarene.
I was born in 1918, and they called me the flu baby because that was during the flu. In fact, my mom was really sick with the flu when she gave birth. I lived in the hollow almost all of my life. In my childhood days, we would gather three or four times a week in the evening with the neighbors, and we would dance with the young and the old. Excuse me. My father would sing, and we just had so many good times together. We had no allowances in our days. Maybe we would get a nickel, 5 cents on Sunday once in a while. And that was a big treat. We'd go to the store, we'd get a big bag of candy for 5 cents. That was great. We would play baseball with the boys and the girls. If we broke a window, we all would put our share in, you know. Played hopscotch and jacks. The one thing that I liked the best was when we were old enough and my mom would go to town shopping, we'd sneak her sugar and make fudge. And then when she'd come home, oh boy, we used up her sugar. Okay, and then when we got older, the young men didn't have cars like they did today, so they would hang around quarters and watch the girls go by. And when the girls would go by, we knew they would look us up and down, and I think we kind of liked that.
You would say then that they were kind of... Would you say that that was kind of like girl watching? Was that kind of a fad then?
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
Do they still have that fad today?
I don't think so. No, not hanging around.
Not hanging around the corner. Yeah. But do you think that there's still girl watching?
Oh, I think so. Thank you. Sure.
All right.
That's anyway, I was married in 1940 to Nicholas Nazarene, Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church. Father Franco. Witnessed our marriage and then gave birth to 4 boys. And then I worked in the store from 1940 to 1975 with my husband. And another thing, when we were young, when spring would come, we'd go picking the dandelions for salad and cook and eat them. They were good. Everybody had large gardens. Let's see now, what else could I think of?
All right, could you tell us a little bit of your experiences in the store? What was it like putting in long hours in the store, and then maintaining a home and raising 4 children.
Yeah, well, now that I'm out of the store, I wondered how I really did it, but we did. We enjoyed it. We really worked hard, and the people were very nice. They were good to us, and we were good to them, naturally. And I was the sausage maker, mixer. And it was hard work, but we enjoyed it. The mm-hmm. store was good to us, really.
Did your boys ever come in and help in the store?
Oh, yes. I had boys in the store. In fact, I'd be the cashier, and I'd have them in a basket behind me.
Banana box.
In a banana box one time, too, when I didn't have the basket with me. But they were right with us, and then when they got older, they all worked in the store. All of them helped.
They all had their chance at being store clerk then.
Yes, but none of them wanted it.
None of them wanted to take over in dad's and mom's shoes, did they?
No, they didn't, because I think mostly of the long hours in the grocery business.
It was pretty confining then.
Right.
All right, is there anything else that you could remember during your own childhood? You said something about being what they call the flu baby, because you were born during the flu.
1918, yeah.
1918, during the flu epidemic?
Right.
All right. Were they pretty much, at that time, were they able to save people from the flu, or was that when people were just dying from it because they didn't have the vaccine?
They were dying like flies, my mother said.
They were dying like flies.
Right. In fact, my mother, like I said, didn't think she was coming out of it alive. My father was sent to a hospital. He had the flu. My mother was sent to another, I don't know if it was a hospital or just rooms someplace where they, because they didn't have room for all of the people with the flu. And she thought my father was dead, and he thought she was. And then when Father Frank went to visit my father, he told her, your wife's alive, so don't worry, you know. But my mother did tell me, you go to town, and they would just fall over like flies, dead. From this flu.
And they would just get so weak that they would collapse.
Yeah,
from
they
it.
Would just, yeah.
I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about your own neighborhood and something about what your house was like, if you could recall that.
Well, like I said, we were, well, maybe I didn't say it, but we were like a family. We didn't have to knock on anybody's door. We just walk in, you know. It was just like everybody's house was belonged to everybody, it seemed. And everybody helped each other, especially when there was sickness. And our homes were nice then. They didn't have the furniture that they had today, but they were nice and clean. And they had wooden floors, and we'd scrub them. White, you know. We had a lot of fun too in our younger days.
Ms. Nasmin, could you tell me, you know, in your own home, in your own neighborhood, would you compare that to what they call a ghetto today? The Smoky Hollow as a whole.
No.
All right, could you tell us a little bit more about, you said your house was clean. Was this pretty much the custom of the people in the Hollow, or were there some that were just, you know, the other way around?
No,
or?
They were all clean. I mean, like, Saturday came along, they had all washed the windows, scrubbed the floors. Monday was wash day. Tuesday was ironing day, you know, they all had their days.
It wasn't just a once a year spring cleaning thing then,
no.
It was a weekly thing.
Every weekly, yeah.
All right, could you tell me if in your own home, did you have all the conveniences, say of bathroom facilities? I understand that at one time that there were what they called outhouses in the Smoky Hollow. Were you more fortunate to have bathroom facilities in your home, or were
Yeah,
they?
We had the bathroom facilities at home.
Did you have that right from the very beginning, or did you have
as
one installed later?
The bathtub we had installed later.
Mm-hmm. But you did have indoor bathroom privileges.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Could you tell us a little bit then what you did for, it's kind of a little bit personal, but because you were a youngster at that time, what did you do to take a bath?
Well, they used the wash tubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd heat the water on the stove. And to tell you the truth, we'd all take a bath in the same water because we didn't have that much, you know, warm water. Then my mother would have some extra water to rinse us off.
All right, you had to heat your water, then you didn't have a hot water tank then to begin with.
Oh, no, no hot water tank. No, we heated that on the stove.
All right. I understand then during this time that there were a lot of things that we don't have today. I know for a fact that TV and radio then came in a lot later.
Oh, gosh, yes.
What about telephones and things of this nature?
No, we had no telephone. In fact, as soon as it got dark, we went to bed. That was it. Then we'd be up early. And I guess early to bed, early to rise was pretty good at that, huh? Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any form of entertainment then in the home, other than maybe your mother telling you a story or some member of your family.
No. Well, this is why we got together with the neighbors three or four times a week in the evening. And I remember the accordion and the banjo, you know, they'd play that, and we'd all dance together, and that was our entertainment.
All right, you made your own entertainment, then.
Right.
You had your own musicians pretty much in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And then you kind of got together and kind of enjoyed each other's company.
Oh, yes.
Along with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, could you tell me a little bit about what some of the times, say like baptismals and things of this nature, if there were quite a few Catholics, I would imagine, in the Smoky Hollow, if they were Italian?
Yeah, they were mostly all around our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the good times, too.
All right, could you describe, say, baptismal, a regular Italian baptismal?
Well, they would, just the sponsors and the father would go to church with the baby. But we'd all pitch in and cook. And that was a big occasion because that's when we would have everything, you know. That's another thing that we didn't have all the time was like meats every night like we do now, you know. Maybe it was like on a Saturday or Sunday we'd get some meat and it was so good then. But we did all right. Mm-hmm. Just the same.
Could you tell us of some of the foods that were prepared for these special occasions?
Well, one thing, you know, is our special macaroni, you know, and soups, chicken, salad, and the ladies would bake the Italian pastries. But we'd have a good time anyway. That was the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Was this just for the godparents? And the parents of the child, or were everybody in the neighborhood and
everybody
their families
in the neighborhood
invited?
Plus friends, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then would they have this right in the home?
Right in the home, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was always room.
There was always room for one member.
Yeah.
All right. This seemed to be the whole outlook of the whole community. Was just like one big open family
right.
Community.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There was something else that I would like to understand. Could you describe for us your own wedding?
My own wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll never forget that morning how it rained. Man, did it rain. But anyway, we had our, we were married at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, like I said, and our reception was at the mansion on, Logan Avenue. Do you recall the mansion?
No, I don't personally.
Yeah. Well, it was beautiful. It was an outdoor thing there. They had music and we danced outdoors and we had the good food, the soup, the macaroni, the chicken, and the drinks.
Mm-hmm. could you describe...
And it was mostly the family that was invited. We had more or less a family wedding.
All right, it was mostly family. Mm-hmm. When you say the mansion, was that kind of a pavilion?
That was a special... it was sort of, yeah, a pavilion.
It was an outdoor pavilion.
Outdoor, yeah. And in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the big bands used to go there that I remember. And then the, let me see, who took over that after?
The nuns.
The nuns took that over for their convent later on.
Is that the, are you referring to the convent up on Logan Avenue?
On Logan Avenue, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they have the retreat house now?
Is right, that, that's, no.
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 I'm not in the right area, I'm sorry. Which is irrelevant anyway. I just wondered if you could maybe tell us about, you know, they, I know that they used to have weddings that lasted all day and then late into the evenings, where now they have weddings where they get married at 5 o'clock and by 7 o'clock the bride's already off to mm-hmm. her honeymoon kind of
no.
a thing.
Ours was just about an all day. I think it was over though about 6. Huh? From what time did I get married? 9 o'clock? Yeah, until about 6, yeah.
All right,
and then, then we all gathered at my mother's home after that. Then we left for our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. Did they have dancing at your wedding? Do you recall?
Oh, yeah. With the accordion, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably pretty much traditional, isn't it,
right.
for Italian weddings? All right.
And another thing, though. That I don't see too much today, when the bride leaves her home, all the neighborhood is out there to see her come out, you know, big thing.
Now, you mean that when she's leaving to
go
and get married?
To church, yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they're all there to kind of
right,
greet
yeah.
her and,
mm-hmm.
and probably pull at her veil and everything else, mess her all up before she gets to church. Okay. Some other things that I would like to know. Could you describe your own street for us in a little bit of detail?
Well, it was just like mostly all the others, just normal. The only thing is, let me see, what else could I say?
23rd.
Oh,
You say it was pretty much like the others. Now, do you mean that they had cement, concrete roads or black pavement, or what kind of roads did they have? Did they have sidewalks? Did they have huge lots?
No, the lots weren't that huge. No, just the normal homes. The street was made of bricks.
All right.
It wasn't such a big street, you know. There was, what, how many homes? About 20, 30 homes on that one street.
What street were you born on?
On Valley.
You were born on Valley
Street.
Valley
Street, uh-huh.
All right, and it was all brick, and were the sidewalks and curbs in at that, on
that
Valley
I
Street?
That I could remember, yes. I guess
right.
at one time there wasn't. And then we had across the street from us, we had, three rows of flats.
All right, could you describe those a little bit for us?
And there was mostly Germans and Polish that lived there at one time. And then little by little, the blacks moved in. They were real nice, too, because we knew them, you know, and they stayed there an awful long time. And they were nice. To us. Mm-hmm.
All right, could you describe the flats itself,
flats,
the structure of the building?
Let's see, well, they were, let me see, they would be about, let me see, 7 or 8 resident places in one flat, apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be what, 8, 16, about 24 families just right across the street from us.
Mm-hmm. Were those, was that build of, brick or stone or
no.
cement or wood, or what were they?
Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this was an older dwelling then. It wasn't anything real modern.
Not modern like today, no.
Not modern as
no.
Today.
But they kept it up pretty nice for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, some of the families that lived around there was the Ferraris. He was a tailor, maybe some people know today. And
DeBartlow, Edward DeBartlow, lived right next door to us there.
Did they, did the DeBartlows build their own home there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They built their own home there? Could you tell us...
And their home, excuse me, was a brick home.
Mm-hmm. They had a brick home.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then there were various structures of buildings in the Smoky Hollow. It wasn't just confined to the wood frame.
Yeah, there were brick and the frame homes.
Mm-hmm. All right, would you say that... just what class of people, then, would you say lived in the Hollow? Or the Smoky Hollow?
Well, middle class people, yes.
Middle class.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then they were holding up their own end, and everybody was pretty much fending for themselves. And when you say middle class, and they were all self-supporting.
Right.
Could you tell me anything else about it? I understand there was a park in Smoky Hollow. Could you describe that a little bit for us?
Oak Park? Yeah, well, now they had what you would call the flats too, right? Well, like apartment homes in there. Individual apartment homes. And let's see, there was about, they were made of cement. There were about 50 of those homes there.
All right, could you describe a little bit?
And they were cement, did I say that?
Yes, you did describe mm-hmm. them as far as what they were made of. They were cement mm-hmm. individual dwellings.
Yes.
And could you describe the park itself? Why did they call it Oak Park?
Why they called it a park? It really didn't look like a park. I don't even know, I'll tell you the truth. Why they called it a park, I don't know.
Were there trees in there or
lawn? Not too many, no.
Did they have lawn?
They had lawn, yes, uh-huh, and a few trees.
All right, did your own home have lawn?
Our home had a lawn, yes, and two real big trees in the front. And one thing most of the people had were large gardens.
Are they, instead of using their lots for green lawns, and they used it for gardens.
A garden, right.
Could you tell us why do you think that this was so in that area or during that time? Why do you think that people had gardens and large gardens?
Well, this was their way of... they would have the large gardens, and then in the fall they would can all this food. So they would have food for the winter.
All right, then this was pretty much as a matter of survival.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then they did this then to help defray some of their food expenses and things of this nature.
Right. Because most of our parents came from Italy, and they came here alone. They left their parents, couldn't speak a word of English. They worked hard, and they survived.
Mm-hmm. And they just were pretty self supporting, and they pretty well maintained for themselves all
right.
along the way.
And the amazing thing was they couldn't speak a word of English. How they got along, I don't know.
It was rather difficult for them to communicate then.
Right, they couldn't read or write.
If this were the case then, where so many of them settled probably around the same time, do you think that they were all pretty much in the same boat?
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, because I would imagine then mm-hmm. that unless they all spoke a certain language, that you know, that would be hard for them to communicate with the Slovak or anyone else.
Still, somehow or other, they got to know what they were saying. Somehow, I don't know.
But do you think maybe they got to read sign language?
Something like that.
All right. Let's see. Is there anything else that you would like to reflect back on, say, your own personal childhood?
Oh, it was, we had a lot of happy times together. There were sad days too, but mostly good days.
Mm-hmm. What was the typical day like in the Smoky Hollow?
Well, in the summertime is when we really had the fun, you know. We'd get up, help our parents around the house, and then go play. Baseball, that was my game. Mm-hmm. With the boys.
All right. When you say baseball with the boys, did you go to, like what we have now is a community park or something of this nature? Where did you go and play baseball?
Right out in the street.
Right out in the street.
Mm-hmm. Because there weren't that many cars in those days. We didn't have to worry about a car coming along. And you could hear it coming.
All right.
In those days.
All right, what kind of cars did they have in those days?
Essex.
Essex and Ford, yeah. But, Essex and Fords that I could remember.
All right, would that be the Model T Ford then, or something,
Model
or
T,
even
yes.
Older than that? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
All right, there wouldn't be that many, so it was permissible then to play out in the street.
Right, yes, and also, like in the winter, Valley Street was a hill, and we'd go sled riding. We'd start at the top and go all the way down. We weren't worried about a car coming along.
Well, were your parents able to buy a sled for you?
No, we made them out of the grape boxes.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit how you went about...
My father did, rather. Pardon me?
Could you tell us a little bit about how you went about to make them, or how your father did?
My father did. You know, he'd shape it like a sled, you know. Then we'd get on it and zoom, we'd go down.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. We didn't have to buy all the fancy things of today. You know, we got along just the same. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. You had just as much fun in a grape box, or maybe even more, because it was
mm-hmm.
makeshift.
Right.
All right. What else do you recall making out of some of the things that you had around, laying around, maybe your backyard, or maybe at somebody's grocery store that you could pick up and make things out of?
We made a wagon too. My father would put wheels on the the orange box crates, you know. Put wheels on four sides, put a handle, and away we went. That was our wagon.
Mm-hmm. Could you think of anything else that you could recall, say in? That you maybe made your own playthings out of, rather than store-bought materials.
Let's see. Oh, I know one thing we did. We made a desk out of the grape boxes also, and we would play school. Another thing that was nice, it was at Christmas time when my father would go out and get the tree. We'd make paper baby dolls to hang on the tree. We never had all the ornaments of today, you know. And that was a lot of fun, too. And we'd string popcorn. And like I said, we got along in those days with not all the luxuries of today.
With the bare necessities, but
mm-hmm.
still you feel that that was kind of an experience that that you got there in the Smoky Hollow that perhaps you wouldn't have got if you lived in a more affluent area, or if you had even more money, you would have probably then bought these things instead of experience the making of them.
Or be like the children of today, spoiled.
Well, and now you can't really say that all children are spoiled. Because,
not all, but just the same. We had it a little harder, much harder than they do.
All right, they do. They have quite a bit more today probably than some. And then I was wondering if you could mention a little bit more about Anything else that you could recall that was very unique about the Smoky Hollow?
Well, let's see what else I could think of here. I think I just about said what I could say.
All right, there was a few things that that came to mind as you were telling about it. You mentioned your Christmases. Is that the only time that you recall ever having to, like you said, you made your little dolls to decorate your tree and your strung your own popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
What about at Easter time? Did you do anything yourself or any other time of the during your childhood or even after that you felt was different than what you would have done if you had an abundance of money, say?
Well, the only thing is that we would look forward to the good foods on the holidays because that was the time that my father made sure that we had everything was on the holidays, Christmas and Easter.
On any special occasions, then, there was always plenty of
food. Yes.
All right. Was this pretty much the thing of most of the people in Smoky Hollow?
Most, yes. On the holidays, that was it. That's the time we would splash, in other words, huh?
All right. Everybody then would have plenty, or it was almost, they almost made it a point that they, everything was plentiful around special occasions or special holidays. Could you tell us what a typical Christmas would be like? Say, just maybe some of your, what would you get, say, for a Christmas gift? Do you recall any special Christmas?
When we were young enough for Santa Claus, we would get maybe one small little toy, and that was it. And we were happy to get that.
Could you remember any one
baby
toy?
Doll?
A little baby doll?
Or a little dish set. And then, of course, we'd find oranges in our stocking. That was it. But we were pleased to get that.
All right. Mrs. Nazarene, could you tell me how many were in your own family? In your own...
We were five girls and one boy.
Five girls and one boy, and then mm-hmm. that was your mother and dad. So that was eight altogether.
Right.
All right. Then there was always some little gift then for each member of the family.
Some little gift, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Then you feel that you were slighted during your childhood, or do you feel like that... all told that all of you fared pretty good?
No, I don't think I felt slighted, no. Mm-hmm. This was it, this is what we got, and we were satisfied.
Do you do this today with your own children, or did you do that when they were smaller, just give them one small gift?
I'll tell you, when they were younger, they got more than one small gift. But when they got a little older, we got them one gift, like a typewriter.
One big
gift, yes.
Mm-hmm. But it was never just one little remembrance at the holidays,
no,
I think.
No.
All right. I think this is pretty true of this generation,
mm-hmm.
Too, that we try to do more for them than than what we did, were able to have done for us, even though there was no regrets. Could you then, just reflecting back for just a minute, if there was anything that you could change during your childhood experiences or the time that you were being growing up in Smoky Hollow, would there be anything that you would have wanted to change?
Any changes? Not while I was growing up, I don't think they were. Those were good days. No. We enjoyed them because, most of all, we never had to fear like we do today. being afraid of leaving your doors open. Or when you go out, we never had to be worried about that. We left the doors open all the time. We never locked our doors. But today you have to lock the doors, plus you have to still worry that they're going to get in.
Do you think that this is nationwide today, not just because you're out of the Smoky Hollow, but that this fear is being built up in all of us?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was this pretty traditional too, where everybody left their doors open in Smoky Hollow?
Oh, yes. Nobody locked their doors in those days.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Why? Just going back for just a minute, when you were going to school, you went to Rand School,
mm-hmm.
Which was quite a distance from where you lived.
Right.
Did you go on the bus, or were you picked up by a school bus, or were you driven to school, or could you tell me just how you got to school?
We walked every day and every night from school. Zero weather, we walked all the way from Valley Street to Rand. Our parents didn't have the money for no bus.
Could you have taken a bus if you had the money?
If we had the money, we could have taken a bus.
And
it was 3 cents, I think, a ride.
No, that was for one way.
That was a lot of money, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But 3 cents was a lot of money.
Sure, by the week, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Did you, on occasion, take a bus?
No, I never took the bus.
Never took the bus. Okay. Of course, when you went to grade school, it wasn't quite as distant. And did you walk to school as a youngster?
We walked all the time.
You
to
walked
school.
All the time.
And one thing about it was, even in zero weather, if we froze, we daresn't go back home because we'd get it. We'd have to keep on going to school. We couldn't say it was too cold, that we couldn't go to school. We went to school.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't get halfway and then turn around and come
right,
back. You still had to keep
My
going.
My mother bundled us up, you know, with mm-hmm. scarves and everything, but we had to keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there was any decade of your life that stands out most in your mind than others, and what it was like during that period?
Well, let's see. Well, I don't know. I can't think. I know one thing. I started working when I was about 13 years old in a grocery store, Sandy Jockmo's, you know, on Summit Avenue. And I worked there for many years. So I've been working since I was 13 years old. And I just, well, if you want to call it retire, I don't like that word though.
You don't?
Retire.
Now, retire from
grocery
from
working.
Grocery
as
working.
A clerk. And
but then that maybe is a good time to start living.
Right. That's what I'm doing,
All right.
hope.
Mrs. Nazarene, do you recall any part of the Depression?
Depression, yes, I recall. It was pretty hard. They had the soup lines in those days for people to bring their pots and go get soup. I remember that, but I don't remember going or anything.
Could you tell us a little bit about it, if you remember of it?
A lot of people went with their pots to get soup to eat to survive.
And where would they go to get this? Do you have any idea? Or
I know they called it the soup line, and I recall them going with their pots, but where they went, I don't really remember. I think it was the YMCA.
Well, who would, do you have any idea who might have made this, or who was?
The city.
The city was
would
doing that.
These women to make soup, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then it was, they would have to, of course, have something in the soup to have it nourishing, and
They had vegetables in the soup. I remember that. And beans, which were good for you too.
They had beans. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then.
And another thing they had, they would have this surplus store where they would go and get flour and dry beans. They would give it to the people to survive, you know. Butter.
Well, yeah.
And even clothing they would give.
Okay, now you would get this. Would you have to have some kind of a chit or a ticket, or were they considered welfare then?
They issued you a card, you know, that you would present, and it would say on there if you had flour, beans, or whatever you were entitled to.
All right, was everybody entitled to this, or did you have to be below a certain income?
Yeah, below a certain income, mm-hmm. Yes.
But you could, that just didn't necessarily mean that you were on, you were welfare,
no,
per
no,
se.
No, it was just, no. At this time that they were unemployed and they had to survive.
Well, this was, of course, there was quite a few unemployed during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was nationwide, not
right,
just during
yes,
the,
yeah.
Not just in the Smoky Hollow.
That was during the time Hoover was president, wasn't it, I think? Yes.
Do you recall just what time of what years that that was the soup lines say were in existence?
That I can't remember. Let me see. 1930 and 1936. It mm-hmm. ended in 1936. Yeah.
All right. Well, you were quite a pretty much of a youngster yourself during that
this
time then,
nice.
And so I would imagine it would be a little bit vague. Is there anything else that you could recall about your childhood or anything that with the Smoky Hollow that you would like to include?
Well, I think I covered what I could think of right now.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you very, very much for your interview and for allowing me to do this and for the time you've spent with me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.